You know, it's important for our children to be involved in the process of giving. You know, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you follow the news at all, you realize that more people are using food banks these days because of the increased pressure on finances and difficult situations. So to have our children involved in the process, because this food then will go to the food bank, which then will help other children and other families. And so thank you for giving, because you really are giving to the Lord, are you not? And so we are thankful for being part of that process. We're going to finish the book of James today, beginning at James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. James 5, 13 to 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I suspect that many of us have never heard of a woman by the name of Dorothea Trudell. She was a resident of Manafort, Switzerland, in the mid-1850s. In fact, she lived from 1813 to 1862. Trudell was raised in a family of 11 children, but her dad was a drunk and often left them in poverty. After selling one of their two cows, he ran off with the proceeds and disappeared from their lives. But she had one thing going for her, and that was a mother that was a godly woman who had taught them how to pray. And when things got tough, and they did get tough for that family, she taught them to rely on God through prayer. Now, Dorothea grew flowers, hired others within the community to help her, and with hard work and thrift and much prayer, her business flourished, not only for herself, but for others in the community that she provided for them. But something happened that changed her life and completely changed the direction of her life. Her workers became sick, in fact, violently sick. And as she sought to nurse them back to health, the sickness only grew worse. Yet she had learned from her mom how to pray and how to teach others to pray and to search the scriptures for an answer to their situations. Where do you go when the crises of life face you? And as she searched, she says that like a sudden light, the well-known passage from the epistle of James 5, 14 and 15 flashed upon her mind. And she knew that this was something that God was wanting her to do. And so she went to her workers, she brought her oil, she anointed them with oil, and she prayed for them. And amazingly, they began to recover. Though we should never be surprised when God does what God does. Now, as others within the village became sick, she would seek to nurse them, and she would seek to pray over them and teach them about God's ability to heal through prayer. And many began to recover, and soon news of what God was doing in Manafort reached the ears of others, and then began to draw them to that village and to her. And she found that all of her spare time now was spent in praying for the sick. In fact, so many came that she started taking them into her homes. And when the house filled up, she bought another house that she might house more that came to that village. Now, unlike a hospice where the sick go to die, her home was a center where the sick came to live. And news of what God was doing reached France, it reached Germany, and it reached Great Britain itself. It kind of reminds us of the ministry of Jesus in Luke 4:40. It says, "And when the sun was down, all they that had sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he, laying his hands on every one of them, healed them." It kind of reminds us of the ministry of the apostles in Acts 5:15. It says, "They even carried out the sick into the streets and put them on cots and mats, so that as Peter came by, even his shadow came upon them, and they were healed." News of what God was doing through Trudell reached the ears of the physicians who brought charges against her, accusing her of healing without medical oversight. The lower courts ruled against her, and she was told that it was illegal to heal without the help of a physician. Now, she wanted to remind them that she had a physician. It was just a great physician, but they accused her of healing without the help of a physician. But rather than turning these sick people away, she appealed the ruling and continued to pray, continued to anoint, continued to see the sick healed. The higher courts eventually ruled in her favor, and she continued her work until, ironically, worn out and tired, she died of typhoid in 1862. Where do you go when you are faced with a difficult situation in your life? Where or to whom do you turn when life gets hard? Now, as many of you know, Esther's family lived on the island when she was a young girl. They lived at the Eddy Farm just down the road. They lived in Richard's Landing. And then they lived on the F&G, where now the music camp is. And her dad worked away a lot. And like Trudell, they knew poverty. And yet, like Trudell, they had a mother who knew how to pray. And she knew how to teach her children how to pray. I wish that I had not been so arrogant as a young man and had learned how to pray from this godly woman. I fear that the rebuke of Festus to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26:24, where he said, "Much learning is driving you mad," would probably be my rebuke. You know, we can read much and find that we know very little in the ways of God. One night they had no food. If you ever read the story of George Mueller, very similar situation. One night they had no food, and Mabel had hungry mouths to feed. What do you do when your cupboards are empty? Where do you turn when you have nothing to give? Mabel set the table. She called the children. As they sat there, they heard a knock at the door. And there stood Berent, grocery bags in hand. God heard the prayers of a godly woman, and Berent heard the voice of the Spirit as a family once more learned that God can be trusted in all things. You see, this passage in James is more than mere instructions on what to do when life gets difficult. And it will get difficult, my friends. Some of you have known the difficulty of life. This passage teaches us of the importance of having our hearts tender and our ears attuned to the voice of the Spirit. And notice how James lays out three questions before us and what to do in each one of these situations. He says in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? let him pray. For many, suffering and prayer just do not seem to go together unless it's more of, God, deal with this and make me well once again. Because a human tendency, when faced with suffering, and it's not to minimize what people go through, but is often to devolve into self-pity and to complain and to even forget God. Suffering can cause us to turn inward upon ourselves. Prayer always causes us to turn outward and upward. Prayer attunes us to the voice of God and how and what to do in the midst of suffering. So how should one pray with suffering, when suffering? There are no formulas. There are no mantras that we should utter. In fact, the Apostle Paul will write in Romans 8:26, he will say, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that we cannot utter. When we do not know what to say, and when we do not know how to say it, the Spirit's got this. The Holy Spirit's got you. And he will speak in words that you cannot speak in, because God hears your heart. And so James will say to us, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And then he says again, is anyone happy or cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And the Bible teaches us that the hallmark of a Spirit-filled Christian is singing. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Again, in Ephesians 5:18 and 19, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And that word, be filled with the Spirit, is a continuous being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, as a hymn writer wrote, come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing your grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name. I am fixed upon it. Name of God's redeeming love. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And then he says in verse 14, is anyone sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Notice that James puts the onus on the individual to initiate the calling of the elders. Why? Because if you do not believe that God answers prayer, those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. It is pointless asking God to pray if you don't believe that God answers prayer. But friends, God hears your heart and God answers your prayers. Why elders? Who are the elders and why them? They are the spiritually mature. They are those who give spiritual oversight to the church. So what are they called to do? What are the elders supposed to do? He says in verse 15, to pray over that person. Elders who are in tune with the Spirit will listen for the voice of God on how to pray. And then they will pray God's voice into the situation that they face. The Rhema word of God, and the word that is used here is Rhema. The Rhema word of God will do more than just standardized praying. Rhema is that Spirit-anointed, Spirit-energized word of God for a specific situation, and in this case, sickness. Pray over that person. Anoint that person with olive oil in the name of the Lord. Now, olive oil was used medicinally in the ancient East or in the Near East for medical conditions. We see this in the parable of the of the Good Samaritan who bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, but you will also find this passage only one other place in the New Testament. It is found in Mark 6:13, where it says, "And they cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." And the key phrase in that is "in the name of the Lord." The elders are to anoint in the name of the Lord with oil, with the expectancy of two results. Verse 15, it says, "A prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise up that person." Faith placed fully in an almighty God who hears and answers prayer. A spirit-given conviction that the Lord will heal and the Lord will touch. Then he says in verses 15b and 16, "If he has committed sin, it will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed." You know, the Greek word for forgiveness is a word aphiemi. And it means this. It means to be fully released. Don't you like that? To be forgiven by God is to be fully released. As far as the east is from the west, fully forgiven, fully restored. There are no half measures with God. Now notice how James leaves us with a triumphant note, as I would wish to leave you with a triumphant note. He says in verse 17, "Elijah was a man just like you and me." Amazing answers to prayer happened when Elijah's ear was attuned to the voice of the Spirit. God is not looking for superheroes, my friends. God is looking for men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit, whose ears are attuned to the voice of the Spirit, and who will step out in faith, trusting the Spirit. We stand on the shoulders of our foreparents, those who taught us how to pray in the Spirit, and those and how to be attuned to the ways of God. And it is our turn. It is your turn to teach this generation on how to be attuned to the ways of God for the coming revival and the coming difficult days. And as Steve Green would pray, would sing, "May all who come behind us find us faithful, with hearts tender and ears attuned to the voice of the Spirit." Let's pray together. There are many times, Father, we would pray for easier tasks and easier situations in our lives, and sometimes we would be like Paul, we would just kick against things. Many times we would just fight against you. But sometimes, Father, we go through difficult times because it strengthens us and because it causes us to look to you. Because you're the answer for life. You're the hope that we have in life. There is no other place that we can go but to you, Father. And Lord, I know in this group, there are those that are going through deep waters, whether personally or with their families. But you have said to us that when you pass through the deep waters, they will not overwhelm you. You've said that when you pass through the fires, they will not burn you, because you put that stamp upon it. You said, "I am the Lord." And I would pray, Father, that we would look to you for the answers in whatever situation we face and whatever we're going through in life. You are the Lord, and we can trust you. Father, I would pray your blessing upon my friends this day. I would pray, Father, that even though my heart is a bit heavy, it rejoices in the God who has allowed Esther and I the opportunity to share life together once more with such an amazing group of people. And I would pray your blessing upon each one here this day, Father, as they continue to move forward into whatever you lay before them. that they will learn and they will know that God is faithful. And they will teach that faithfulness to their children and to their grandchildren. We love you, Jesus. We are so grateful that you love us. In your strong name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.